Welcome to the Coffee with Karen podcast, a weekly chat show discussing everything from holistic health to current affairs from a mental, physical and spiritual perspective. Get your weekly cup of positivity with a sprinkling of woo-woo.
Hey, and we are live. So welcome to today's show. I'm your host, Karen Roberts, and each week I interview a variety of coaches, consultants, therapists or healers from the conventional to the more woo-woo, and they get an opportunity to share their story, why they do what they do, what they do. And this week we have two, not just one, we have two, double trouble, huh? So, well, Robert and Noel, would you like to share a little bit about who you guys are? What you do?
Absolutely. So obviously we're Robert and Noel, and we're a coaching couple. spent 20 years in Christian ministry and 10 of that in South America serving as missionaries. And then 10 of that I was coaching and supporting missionaries around the globe as a missions pastor. And 5 years ago, we decided to start our company, AV2L Consulting, which is add value to life. And our mission is to encourage others and build them up and really to help people live the life they were designed to live and or we believe they were created to live. And so it's pulling people out of whatever muck and mire that they're in and helping them find that purpose within their heart. And then let's build a business, build a company, build a life around that purpose and allow them to fulfill their purpose to humanity and make the biggest impact possible.
And each person was made for a specific purpose. We're all unique. We're all special in our own way. We have a reason for being here. We've proven that many a time, that there's something that we're here for. We have a purpose and we have an impact to make, and only you can fulfill your purpose.
Love that. Fantastic. So today's topic is really how our emotional vibrations impact how we show up in the world. And yeah, I couldn't agree more. So, but can you share a little bit more about that?
Well, I think the biggest challenge is, at least on our side of the pond, when we grow up, we're kind of taught to shut our emotions down. We're not taught what to do with those emotions. So, you know, boys are told not to cry. We tell our children not to get angry. We're not supposed to feel emotions. And so typically what people have done is when they start to get emotional, especially the negative emotions of, you know, distress and stress and despair and grief, we start to experience those emotions and we block them and we shove them down inside. And most people put them in their gut. And so now we've got these emotions stuck in our gut. And this is a very literal thing, because now we eat emotionally and we eat to make ourselves feel better. And what does that do to our health? We start to gain weight. We start to get this funky feeling in our gut and our insides just don't feel in alignment with who we are. And so now we've taken these emotional experiences that our energy should have just allowed to flow through us, and we've blocked it. And now it's holding us up. It's holding us hostage and causing all kinds of impact in our lives.
And I think we don't talk through them. We don't process them in any way. And it blocks us from learning and growing. And we can't be the best us if we are not progressing in life. We've got to be able to acknowledge what's going on to learn from it. And
we're meant to experience emotions, right? So I teach in the work that we do that our emotions are simply our dashboard. It's like the check engine light on your car. And when the check engine light on your car comes on, you shouldn't ignore it. Right? Because something's happening inside the engine. Something's happening to the car. And this is a warning telling you, hey, something's happening. well, our emotions can be very similar, right? When we feel anger, there's something going on inside of us that we should want to explore. We should want to find out what is this anger telling us? Not about the person that's irritating us, because that's what we typically do. We say, hey, you're making me mad, or hey, stop making me mad, or, you know, oh, you know what? Your mother makes me so mad, right? Instead of saying, what is going on inside of Robert that's making this response, right, of anger? And then when Robert can explore that, when Robert can ask his body, what's going on? And really, he can recognize that his selfishness is really what's going on. And there's some expectation that I've created and that I have inside of me that's not being met. And when I start mm-hmm. to recognize what that expectation is, I can deal with myself, right? I can control myself and recognize that this emotion, this anger, is really just a symbol of something that I'm expecting to happen that's not happening. And I can change that. And when I change that expectation, I can live in a much different way. And then the anger doesn't get stuck. That vibrational energy goes, I learn from it, boom, and it goes on its merry way. And it doesn't get stuck inside of me.
Well, I think that affects how we impact and how we show up in the world.
Of course.
If we're angry and, you know, we can't deal with our own issues, who's going to want to work with us?
With an angry person.
And of course, it's not just anger, right? Anger is one of those negative ones that we get told to shut down. But any of the emotions, especially the negative emotions, but even the positive emotions, are symbols of what's going on, right? But we don't ever question them when they're on the positive side. But we recognize a lot of times what's happening to cause us to be happy, right? The joy of looking in your child's face, the joy of experiencing time with a loved one. Those are positive emotions that come up and you're like, ooh, and some people miss them and they don't realize what's going on. And I think you have to learn from those as well and recognize, hey, what's the meaning in this? How can I multiply this? How can I have more of this?
Right? Celebrate the positives. You really do.
Which is something that we, again, I mean, I sort of chuckled to myself when you said this side of the pond, this is how we are. And I thought, oh my goodness, we are just the same here.
I just don't want to assume.
Yeah, don't worry. We're probably worse. We have definitely been brought up in that way. Yeah. And so, you know, it's nobody's fault. Nobody's made us aware of this, right? We were the Brits, yeah, it's stiff upper lip, isn't it? It's, you know, just deal with it. We're told to... Yeah.
What's funny is they say deal with it, but they don't really teach you how to deal with it. They just tell you to stop, don't, you know, ignore, whatever, just handle it. But they don't ever say, hey, you know what? That feeling, if you let it go, it'll flow through you and it won't get stuck. And I dealt with it with my son and had some severe anger issues, and he put holes in the wall and he was just frustrated. And I felt powerless at times to help him understand that your body and your brain are telling you something. This is an opportunity for you to listen to those. And now our grandson is starting to experience some of the same kinds of frustrations. And it's, how do we help you change your expectations? How do we help you understand that this frustration you feel is something inside of you that you can control and that you can reprogram? You get to change it. And really experiencing all of our emotions, the emotions exist for a reason. And so when you feel the need to cry or you feel sadness, I think we have a sadness epidemic in, at least in the United States, I assume in Britain too. And now we all go to the doctor and we tell the doctor, oh, doctor, I'm sad. And the doctor says, well, we've got these new medicines, right? We've got these new medicines called antidepressants. And yes, there are some people that I think need antidepressants, they need the brain chemical differences, but they don't recognize the reality of what our bodies were designed to do. And when you spend all your time in these negative emotions, all your body is doing is feeling stress and anxiety. So any little event causes your brain to say, ooh, we're going to war, it's time to fight or run away. And when the brain says fight or run away, it dumps adrenaline in your body and cortisol. And you know what those are for? They're for fighting. They're for literal boxing, fighting. Your body wants to do something active and it shuts down this. It shuts it off. And so when we get in a fight with our kids or with our spouse or with these other people, guess what's shut off? This is shut off because now our body's in this fight and flight stage. But what do we try to do? We try to have a conversation and we try to fix it. And now we're trying to fix it with this thing turned off. And if your brain is turned off, there's no way you're going to fix your relationship. But no, that's what's happening. And so many people are living in this fight and flight place with this adrenaline and cortisol and yuck chemicals dropping into their body. And what's crazy is science shows now that when a woman's body goes into fight or flight, it takes her body 24 hours to process those chemicals and get them out of her system. And for a man, it can only be 9 hours. And imagine your body living with these chemicals for all of that time, because we don't run, right? If those chemicals got dumped into your body and you went out for a 20-minute walk or a 20-minute jog or you did a workout for 20 minutes,
it changes.
You would process those differently because that's what they're designed for.
But we spend that 24 hours dealing with those fight or flight emotions and the chemicals that drop into our system. And then something else happens and it starts all over.
Whew.
It's hard to get out of it.
It just attracts more.
It's a terrible cycle that a lot of people are living in. And no wonder they feel like crap. No wonder they feel sick. No wonder they feel sad, because the body's not getting the right chemicals. It's getting the negative chemicals.
And the wrong food.
And of course, they're eating the wrong food because they're eating emotionally. They're not eating to fuel their body. And so now they're stuck in this yuck energy space. Whereas if you turn on the relational mode, right, the brain has this fight or flight side, which is, you know, trying to defend itself. But when you turn that off, it turns into relational mode. And in relational mode, guess what chemicals your body dumps into the body? Oxytocin and dopamine and serotonin and endorphins that, guess what? They make you feel great. They're designed to make you feel great. Now, so many people are getting those hits of endorphins in a short-term thing. Like we'll go shopping or we'll pornography or eating comfort foods that make us feel better, but those give us these little tiny hits of endorphins. But really, the brain was designed for this joy state, this relational state, this state where we're interacting with other human beings in a positive way. And that's where really good stuff can happen. And that's where we should be making our relational decisions and having our relational conversations, our conversations about character, because now the brain's in a state where it's ready to say, hey, this feels good. I can listen. I can have a conversation because I'm not shut off trying to protect myself and defend myself for the end of the world.
It's so interesting that, you know, when you explain it like that, I mean, when you step back and look in, you think, well, yeah, of course it's like that. It's so simple. So simple. Why do we overcomplicate everything? And who doesn't want to feel good? I mean, it's quite a funny thing, really, the way we react. Obviously, it's unconscious. Nobody wants to be feeling down, don't they? We don't wake up in the morning and go, I really fancy feeling depressed today.
Well, right? But you have to be careful, because there are a lot of people that are comfortable there. Now, they don't want it. They don't want to be there, but they're comfortable there.
They don't want to change. It's hard work because, to change.
Because they're used to being there. And so they keep themselves there. Now, the cool thing is, if they stepped out of it and recognized how good it feels on the other side and recognize how it's not that hard to work, it's only a little stretch outside the comfort zone. But the majority of people are content to stay in that space. And they like it, right? On social media, we like to share, ooh, the yuck and the drama. And the drama gets us attention because people like the drama. Oh, I feel so sorry for you. Oh, you poor thing, right? Instead of the kind of attention that we really want, which is that positive love attention, that's so much more powerful. It's like 10x attention if you're in that relational state. And that's where you experience.
Shame, isn't it? I suppose we all sing for that little bit. Like, and I, you know, hands up, beginning of lockdown. Yeah, I was emotional eating. You're going for that. Even though you don't want the result of what that bad food is going to give you, but you just want that instant for a minute. Oh, it feels good. And then that's it.
Yeah, we want the fast food fix. And any emotional or cognitive changes we make aren't fast food fixes. Any food that you change, any eating habits you change are not fast food fixes. You have to do them for a time so your body can adjust and change those chemicals out.
But also it's okay. It's okay to do it once in a while. The challenge is the majority of people that are getting involved in those things is they're getting addicted, and they're addicted to that false joy. You look at all of these things that bring false joy, like pornography, comfort foods, alcohol, drugs of legal or illegal, right? All of those things are very, very addictive. And once a person heads down that pathway, they'll continue in that pathway thinking that they're satisfying this need for joy, this desire inside of us, this longing for that emotional energy. And the truth is, all it does is give you the blip, in the little blip.
So you have to do it more.
And then, of course, yeah, you dive into pornography more, which has all kinds of impact on your relationships. You dive into comfort foods more, which has all kinds of impact on relationships and your health, right? All of these things that are pseudo joys, are artificial joys, that are quick stimulants, aren't long term. And they also create all kinds of stuff and bring all kinds of baggage into your relationships. But what's really cool and the challenge, I think, in our culture is we try to fix that thing, right? We try to diet. We try to stop drinking. We try to stop smoking. We try to quit the pornography, and we just focus on that thing, on the thing, instead of focusing on repairing our relationships and restoring relationships that bring real joy. And when you have true joy in your emotional experiences, guess what happens to those pseudo ones?
They're not needed.
You no longer need them. Yeah. You don't go after them anymore. So they're so much easier to change those habits when there's something real in their place. And so many people try to change the habit to get to the real instead of getting to the real joy first. Find the true joy and fuel that, fill that cup up. And when that cup is full, those other things just fall away.
Right. You make it sound so simple.
Yeah, I wish it were as easy as it is to say, but it's easier than going about it the other way.
Yeah, absolutely. And if only people realized that there is a way to do it. So for those out there thinking, well, no, I can't do that, or... Well, what do they need to do? How do they stop these quick fixes that don't work and are actually going to make everything worse? Because if they're eating, they're going to get fat and they're going to feel worse about themselves. And if they're doing any of the other things, you know, it's not good. So what could they do today, something simple, that could start to turn that around?
So connection. Connection is the number one fuel of joy in your body. And connection happens when you look into a person's eyes and they smile and their face says, I'm happy to see you. Right. So I think about our grandbaby and looking into our grandbaby's face and seeing her smile when she sees you. And there's a connection between your eyes. And so if you took just a few minutes out of your day and connected with your partner.
With somebody you love.
With somebody you love, with your partner, with a child, with somebody. And it's got to be healthy, right? But it's being able to look into their eyes and see that I'm happy to see you. And you don't say I'm happy to see you. Your face says it for you. And that's a quick way. But find connection. Find a person, a family member, a person who you can trust, and you sit across the table having coffee with them and you just smile, and it's I'm so happy to see you. In business, it's networking. It's walking into that networking room of 20 or 30 people and seeing that person that you know, and you just see their smile and you say,
okay, I'm okay today because I know somebody here.
Somebody, yeah. Well, not just I know somebody here, but that somebody's happy to see me. Their body, their face, everything about them just said, I'm so happy to see you.
There's some of that you can get in Zoom, but it's better in person. And when my daughter FaceTimes with the baby, it's great. But in person is so much better.
Absolutely. But reach out. Make a connection. If you make a connection today, that can be one step towards filling up your joy cup.
Love that. And like you just said there about the Zoom, I mean, you know, yeah, there's nothing like live events. I can be on Zoom all day. I can find it quite draining sometimes. Yet when it's actually face-to-face, so that, isn't that proof that when when we talked about it, the vibration, there's so much more to everybody than we can see with our eyes or, you know, with our physical senses. And that proves it, doesn't it? Because really, why should it be any different?
The crazy thing is the brain communication, that message the brain sends out and brings back, happens so fast that even the highest speed internet connection cannot pick it up yet. And so that the brain is sending out that signal and receiving it back so fast that the internet can't capture it. Now, yeah, we get a great deal of joy from seeing Karen from across England, because what a blessing it is to have this technology where we can connect with each other, even though we're thousands of miles apart. But the brain is not receiving the same message as if Karen and Robert Noel were in the same room together. That's different. And so you do need to find opportunities to connect in the same room. Now, if you're not in the same town, use the internet, because it's the next best thing, right? And it's the next best opportunity to see a smile, to see somebody's eyes and to experience. And maybe you have to say it in the internet connection. You've got to say, Karen, it's such a joy to be with you. We love your accent. We love your beautiful pink hair. We just enjoy our conversations, right? And that will start to fill up your cup.
And you need a full tank. You think about your heart and your body and your soul as these vessels that you need to fill with what enjoyment you get. If you cannot be happy and joyful and fill up your own tanks, you can't give to others.
And there's a lot of people running around on empty tanks.
I think they are. I would 100% agree. And that's why I suppose when they are down that low, it's hard for them to envision anything up there, because they're just not, again, going back to the vibration, it's all energy, isn't it? It's very difficult. You just can't even see it, which seems such a shame, because it, like you say, it doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to, it's free. It doesn't cost you anything. Yeah.
Be grateful for what you have and where you're at and go from there.
Oh, and it doesn't have to be an intimate relationship, right? It doesn't, it just needs to be somebody you trust and love, and that you're able to see face to face and have another human being whose face says, I'm happy to see you. Right? It can be a friend, it can be a business association. Obviously a family member or longer term connection is going to fill your cup up a little more. But it really is about connection. We as human beings were created to be in connections, and our character changes better in a group, in community, where we have a group and community identity. But so many people are missing that, especially over the last couple of years. We've given up all of our groups and we've given up all of these places where our character really has the opportunity to grow and change.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that that's really sort of been on the decline, possibly for the last, I don't know, 50 years? You know, the way
Absolutely.
Things have changed, because, you know, people aren't living in big family units anymore. They, you know,
who's your people? Who's your group, right? So many people don't know who their group is.
You're on social media a lot.
Well, we're on tech. We're distracted by the fake groups, right? We're on Facebook, or we're in, I'm in this Facebook group and I've got 5,000 friends, and I've got, but not one of them is going to be the one that picks you up from jail or comes to fix your flat tire on your car, right? I mean, so we don't have people anymore. Like even a great question to ask yourself is, if I'm going to heaven, who are the 20 people I want around me in heaven for eternity? For eternity, think about, if I have to pick out 20 people that I know, right? Now, some people, they know they're 20 just like that.
But do you know even two?
But a lot of people.
Oh, I've got mine. But my problem is we're all scattered around. And I was just going to say, because the more travel has become a lot easier. So I left home very young, lived abroad, and the friends that even I had back then, they are still my besties now. But of course, we've all gone back home. Of course, home means there, and we're all sort of staggered. So do you think even that part of it, because the world has become a smaller place, because it's so easy to travel, people aren't staying in their communities that they grew up in? So things, and so people may have moved away for work, and if they haven't really found their tribe there, do you think that's part of the issue? So it is a good thing in one hand, but if they don't work it right and create their tribe where they are, it can be a negative.
That's the piece, right? Everywhere you go, you've got to be intentional about bringing a tribe together and involving yourself in a new tribe, because you need that tribe. You need people. We simply need people to know who we are, who we truly are, to know our true importance in the world.
I mean, we are the people that we hang around with, right? So if you look at the five people that you hang around with and you spend the most time with, are they encouraging you? Are they helping you? Do they believe in your purpose? And sometimes those are toxic relationships and they're hard to break. Sometimes they're just not healthy. I mean, and you have to choose. Robert said the word intentional. You have to choose who you're hanging around with. Not saying you have to get rid of everything, but you have to choose who you spend your time with and how much time you're spending there.
And of course it takes work, which is why it's so easy for us to say, I'd rather be a hobbit and stay in my hobbit cave and not deal with other people, right? And I can deal with them on social media and I can watch Netflix all the time and feel like I'm connected to this world, but it's all fake. It's that same pseudo joy, right? I'm trying to get that pseudo joy from a connection on Facebook or from watching, an entire series of, Who's Raising the Queen Now.
I mean, yeah, there you go. I mean, you mentioned that earlier about so many distractions. We've been distracted somehow from the things that are important. Best thing I ever did 2 years ago was get rid of the TVs in this house. We don't have a TV in this house. I can watch Netflix. I can watch Prime. But we've got no terrestrial telly. I don't want to know. I've never been so happy.
Right? And if you just take that moment to, when you make that choice of whatever it is you're changing or, saying no to, how much better you feel about everything when you don't hear the news every day or when you're not on Facebook for 24 hours.
I didn't think I did. I've said for years, I don't listen to the news. I don't read newspapers. However, subconsciously, sometimes you can't avoid it because you'd have the TV in the background and it might go into the news. So you get something before you've changed it. Now, I can't, even if I wanted to. And it has. I have to say it's made a massive change, I feel, personally, to how I've been, especially through the madness of the last few years, which is why I did it. So, I think that's massive.
They're so caught in the drama, right? And obviously they have the human interest story, right? The one little positive in every story, but people pay for the drama. People pay for the negative abuse, and we want to see human suffering for some reason, rather than human achievement. But you can fuel yourself on human achievement, right? You can read biographies, and you can involve yourself with those positive people and be very, very intentional. Just like we talked about food, right? We talk about choosing the foods that fuel your body rather than just make you emotionally feel good for a moment. Same with your brain. Choose the things that'll fuel it over the long term rather than just the little quick hits of drama pleasure, mm-hmm. right? Because that's the same thing. Drama gives you that quick, woohoo, I feel good, but then, ugh.
Yeah, I don't understand it. We have a terrible, you must have them over there. I was going to say sitcom, that's funny.
Reality shows?
No, not even reality shows. But over here, if you've ever heard of it, it's called EastEnders or Coronation Street. And it's just sort of, it's supposed to be, you know, real life. But it's all negative. It's like, I think somebody said there were so many 100 negatives in one episode. I don't know when people wanted to watch it because that made them feel better about their life because that was so awful.
Right.
And then they call their mom at the end of the day to talk about it. So they add on to it.
Yes. Keep it going. Stay in that vibration again. I just find it quite fascinating.
And my mom would watch the soap operas and she would read the silly novels. And then she'd call my sister to talk about them. So it's like all she did all day long. It's like, woman, you got to do something else.
It's funny when you're out of it, because mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie, years ago, before I lived in the Algarve, Portugal for 8 years. So that's why I think travel actually is a good thing. So before I went, I would have said, yeah, I would have watched all those soaps. But moving abroad, we didn't have access to English telly. And of course, you're outside, it's sunny. Yeah, it's not England. Yeah, London is miserable right now, can I just say? But you're outside, your life is outside with people, like you say, you're connecting with people constantly. And so I suppose I brought that back with me, not a little bit like an alien, because I don't know who anybody is. Who's that?
I mean, that's who we're all unique, we're all special, we have different experiences that bring us to who we are. But we have to be intentional about keeping those connections to what we enjoy and what we're passionate about.
Well, especially as we age, right? Because for a time when our kids are in activities, we're involved in those communities, right? The soccer community, sorry, football community, PTA. the school activities, the school drama and those things. But now that our kids have moved on to different activities, it's very easy for us to just look at each other and say, woo. We need a break. Like I'm gonna sit at home and just sit in the quiet. But really, we need to get involved and find our people as adults as well. And whether that's business networking, you know,
women's groups,
getting on podcasts.
You're not just a mom, are you? You're not just a wife, but just a husband. And I suppose this is why, you know, my age now. So many are struggling with the empty nest syndrome because they haven't had those connections.
Right. And that's why I'm focusing there. Cause I've gone a couple times in my life trying to figure out what do I want to do when I grow up? Cause now that, you know, the kids went off to, you know, high school and they don't need me as much. And now the kids have moved out. They don't need me hardly at all, except for a phone call. It's just different phases. And it's a transition from helicopter momming to influencer. So you're not changing, and I wrote a blog today, but it's who are you at the core with mom or charity work or podcast? It's just a branch. It's just a piece of who you are. We have to figure out who we are at the core, what our identity is for us, and thrive in that and build the other layers around it and not focus on just one of them.
Love that.
I think too many moms.
Sorry.
Oh, no, I was just going to say too many moms and dads take on the identity of the role. And it's a temporary role, but so many people think mom is a full-time role. And then when the kids move out, they're no longer mom. And that's a problem. And they can't transition to having a different impact now that their kids have moved out of the house. And a lot of women are stuck. And I think men get stuck in a career, right? Everybody asks, what do you do? CEO. I'm a salesman. And their identity is based on this career thing. And then when they get fired or they get laid off, they're stuck because now their identity is stuck in that pink slip that says you no longer have this job, right? But that's not what our true identity is. Our true identity is some other thing. It's this purpose inside of us to impact the world. And when somebody can unwrap that, you can fulfill that purpose as a mom. You can fulfill that purpose as a salesman. You can fulfill that purpose in a various different ways. But then that purpose is really what your identity is, right? So our identity is in our desire to lift other people up and to see them accomplish great things. The impact we want to make has to do with, you know, ending entrepreneurial unhappiness. And she wants to end basically women's unhappiness.
I want healthy relationships.
And helping people to bring about this next level, right? And not being stuck in something that's just not true about them.
So it's identifying, people identifying with, again, like you said it earlier, about this false thing. It's a, you know, they're going for these false things to make them feel good, and they're identifying with a false title of who they are. So right. You two together, I love it when because I always say when couples work together, one and one doesn't equal two, it equals five, you know, because you bring so many different skill sets and different ways to the table. So for the audience, who do you specifically help? Who is your target audience? And how do you help them specifically?
So I work with women empty nesters. So working through what is their values, what is their purpose, who are they hanging around with, and their affirmations and limiting beliefs to be the person that they are meant to be and have the impact that they're meant to be. We're all specific. We're all unique. We were put here for a specific purpose that only you can provide.
So, and my mission is to end entrepreneurial unhappiness. And this year, 2023, I am focusing on dental entrepreneurs because of the stress and overwhelm that they face, but the impact that they can have by bringing and restoring smiles in people's faces. And so I think they need to be some of the happiest business owners on the world.
Love that. So that's there two very specific target audiences there.
And then Noelle and I serve couples.
Say that again.
And then Noelle and I together serve couples and want to help couples restore their relationships and be the best, put their best selves forward as a couple.
Love that. Perfect. And I actually, when I mentioned about the empty nesters, I didn't know that, Noel, but I obviously did on some kind of level. Brilliant.
So that's energy.
There you go. It is. So even on Zoom, it doesn't matter. I mean, energy still passes through the ether, doesn't it? So otherwise we wouldn't be able to talk, right? We wouldn't be able to talk. So how do you make the transformations for people? How do people work with you? And what is the promise?
So we dig into who they are, right? So we go straight at who you are, what were you created for? And we do that through their values, through their life experiences, through the thing they know deep inside of them when they were 12 years old, what it is they wanted to do in the world, right? And whether that's Noelle working with a woman or me working with an entrepreneur, it really is. What is that purpose? And what are the things that are important to you, right? So we do core values, of course, and those are just words that help people identify what's really important to them, the boundaries that they want to set around their business or around their life. But ultimately, what is the really important thing that you want, right? Is it time with your family? Is it money so that you can send your kids to college? Is it the impact you want to have for a nonprofit or as a mom wanting to send her grandkids to college or take them to Disneyland, right? What is that thing that really matters to you at the heart, right?
Your why.
That desire inside of you. And then we say, let's design your life around that. Let's help you design your life that supports that, rather than what most people do is they push that off to someday. Right?
It's a dream.
Someday I'll take the kids to Disneyland. Someday I'll spend more time with my kids because the business needs me right now. I need to spend 10 hours a week a day in the business, and I got to spend 7 days a week. And so I'll spend time with the kids later, someday, right? Well, we want to bring someday back to the center, and we want to help them do the thing that matters most and have their business support it. Build their business in a way that protects this thing instead of puts it off into the future. And the same with women. Noelle wants to help women bring that thing that matters to them right to the center and then design their life around it, whether that's building a business or finding a charity to work for or just writing a book or doing the thing that she wants
it's
to
not
do.
The kids.
And acknowledging that this thing can't be their kids because their kids are a temporary assignment.
Absolutely, because they got to go. It's their journey.
They got to go.
They got to go. No, not yet.
There's a time in you know the teenage life that just at least for us it was like they've got to go.
They got to go.
it's funny, isn't it? I thought and we used to joke a bit about it. Like you do realize we're going to be having this conversation, like Ella. 40 years old now, I think it's time. But actually, she's been gone for a while. I always thought it would be my youngest that went first of all. And I thought my eldest would be with me forever. But it's funny how things can quickly change.
They can.
And yes,
in the middle of COVID, we thought they were never leaving.
I was looking for a house for us. We were going to leave.
She was shopping for a house. Like these kids are stuck here forever. And then within 4 months, they both were gone. It was like, woo, wow. I don't know. We didn't see that happening, but God took care of it. And they were gone. And we were like, all right, now we can do some stuff.
Learn to love it.
Yeah.
I won't tell your listeners that my daughter and her family and husband and two kids just moved back in last weekend, but that's another story.
Temporary glitch.
It is temporary.
They're trying to buy a house, and they need to have too much money up front nowadays because the prices are just ridiculous right now, and they were paying so much in rent.
And this is the same over here. And do you not see this as the sort of, because what you're teaching here isn't taught in schools, and do you not think that this is a problem that, again, just because we're opposites of the pond, I'm sure our school systems were similar.
Simon Squibb is a big advocate on your side there that about business and about what they don't teach in schools. And so if you're not familiar with Simon Squibb, find his stuff. He's empowering homeless people and giving money to help people start businesses and just making an incredible impact. But he's a big advocate of they need to teach these things in school, and he wants to change the school system because you're right. They don't teach these things in school. They don't teach these connections, and we don't learn about relationships and communication, and we don't learn about emotions. And of course,
we don't learn how to live.
We don't learn about money. And if you can learn about relationships with other human beings, and you can learn about how money really works, and you can put those two things together. Hello, you can change the world.
But they want you to just be a worker bee so that you just get paid enough that you have to go back on Monday. And then again, it's so difficult for anybody, if you're doing that, to make enough money to go and then buy a house.
The sad thing is that you go to work and you do just enough to not get fired.
Yes.
And that's the life that you're...
And that doesn't fill your tank.
Not at all. And yeah, well, that's the thing. That's what I was originally thinking of the route to go to. Because they're coming out of school and going into something because they've been told they should do that, or, you know, they've given some kind of career advice. And like what you said earlier about not, you know, knowing what it is you love to do, being heart-centered, well, that's not taught, is it? We've got to be practical, and what job is going to give the best, I don't know, pension and longevity in work, and you're going to be safe, rather than doing what they actually really, really, really want to do. No wonder they're all depressed.
Yep.
They need to come back. And like you say, there's, do you see that there's a pattern to some, you know, I think because of the internet, we've got lots of youngsters that are being very entrepreneurial. But otherwise, it's almost like they've gone through school, they've got to a certain age, and thought, this isn't quite what I was expecting, and then gone into entrepreneurship later. Are you seeing sort of a pattern?
I think there's a combination. There's a combination happening, right? But I think we met a dentist at a networking event who's doing very well. He's making lots and lots of money doing what he doesn't want to do. And he took on dentistry because his parents were both doctors and they said, this would be a good career. And now he's got, see, what they get you with is the cost of school, right? And then you've got this debt for these student loans. Uh-huh. And that's not what he wants to do. He's an ultra runner and he wants to help people in recovery from sporting events and from running. And he wants to create a recovery center for athletes. And it's like, just do it. You just got to draw a line in the sand and say, all right, I've made enough with this. And now it's time to switch to the thing that I'm passionate about and where I can make a bigger impact in the world. But I want to do, why not do work that makes you feel good, right? Find the thing that makes you feel good. Even if it's a job, you're getting paid to do something that makes you feel good, rather than just doing because everyone around you said that's the thing you should do.
Be grateful for what you've had. Be grateful for where you're, what's brought you to here. You've got lots of training in whatever you've done. So it's not bad or wrong. It's where you're at. It's who you are. Mm. And you can make the choice of what you're going to do tomorrow.
And that's another joy bucket filler, just to be clear. Gratitude is a quick way to fill that joy bucket. Expressing gratitude, and take gratitude to another level, expressing appreciation in specific ways. So like I had said earlier, Karen, I appreciate your accent, and Karen, I appreciate your spirit, right? Those are ways of giving appreciation to another person, and it fills your joy bucket, right?
And fills theirs.
And can fill theirs. It's very powerful.
Absolutely. I mean, the fact that it's when you said about the gratitude, but also one thing you said earlier about accepting where you are, because everybody is just sort of thinking about, oh, well, I don't want to be here, but I want to be there. And that first step is just, it is what it is. I'm here. I'm grateful for all the lessons it's brought me. And now they can move on.
And when you accept it and you're aware of, okay, this is where I'm at, it's not where I want to be, then you can make choices to change it. A lot of people just are comfortable and they're not acknowledging that it's okay to where they are and that they can make those changes.
So it's, we call it extreme ownership. You have to take 100% responsibility for your life and for your business if you have a business. 100%. Everything that you deal with is your fault and it's your responsibility. And the problem is most people want to say it's somebody else's fault. It's the government's fault. It's the weather's fault. It's the other person's fault, right? And when you take extreme ownership of your life, and we call it extreme ownership because nobody wants to take responsibility for somebody else doing stuff to you. But the truth is you can own it. And when you take that ownership, so taking ownership of all my emotions, right? Taking ownership of all my consequences, all of the things that are happening around me. If I take ownership of all of those things, then I have the power to change them. I have the power to impact them. I have the power in my life. but so few people want to take that power on.
Which is, it, again, it's so backward, isn't it? Because isn't that empowering? Because you're never going to change the government.
It's no the only true thing. Do,
we try, but no matter what we do, we can't control these. I won't swear.
you're in England. England people are allowed to swear. You guys cuss all the time.
You have some fun words.
Well, we can't control these people. So it's no wonder they feel powerless. But I mean, it's funny, isn't it? When you do take ownership, it's actually a good thing, because that means I can change it.
You're the only one that can own you anyway.
You only control what you can control, and you cannot be responsible, and you cannot allow those other things to change how you feel or what you do, because you can't control it anyway.
But you can control this person. And when you decide to control this person can impact the world. It can make huge differences. But it's easier to blame everybody else for what's going on in here instead of taking responsibility and saying, wait a minute, this might be my fault.
Nothing's
my fault. It's always my fault.
So helping people take extreme ownership is really what we do.
And then that in itself is going to help them move.
But you can't change anything if you don't acknowledge where you're at.
Well, I believe that you have the power to change you.
Do you find that people... quite often, actually, it's the change that is, it doesn't matter what the change is. It could be something really simple. It could be one little thing that takes 10 minutes a day. But people are so resistant in general to just that word, change, no matter what it is.
And I say so much so. Nobody wants to change. It's comfortable where we're at. I know what to expect where I'm at. And there's whole classes and huge programs and certifications on change management. The biggest part is people don't want to change in businesses or personal lives.
But the most ridiculous thing is that you're changing anyway. All of us are changing. All of us are dying. All of us are moving on every single day. And why not be intentional about it? Why not choose your path instead of allowing the world around you to manipulate you through? Because that's what you're doing. As an employee, that's what you're doing. I'm allowing those people to make my decisions for me. And
then complain about it.
When I feel like a victim and I'm empowered, it's these other people controlling my emotions and controlling my destiny and controlling my pathway. And then the only convenience I get out of that is I get to blame them at the end.
Yeah,
but I don't get to go where I want.
Why do we give our power away? It seems so, it's so crazy when, I mean, I know, look, and I'm sure when I'm in it, it's easy when you're out of it looking in. I'm sure when I'm in it, I still do stuff, but it seems crazy to go through life like that, resisting change, because like you say, change is inevitable. One of the first books I ever read was a tiny little book called Who Moved My Cheese, about two little mice. It was a great little book. I was like,
It's so true.
Isn't it?
When we were working in the church, we had several people that would come in on Sunday morning. And if you rearrange the chairs to a different configuration, they threw a fit like a 2-year-old. Don't move my chair.
There's now stranger than folk. We're a funny lot, aren't we, us humans?
Right?
We absolutely are. And that's what's so great about the possibilities, is the fact that when you recognize that change is happening anyway, and who do I want to be in control of my destiny? Me or those crazy people? I mean, if we're going to put a crazy person in charge, I want to be the crazy person in charge. Absolutely.
Yeah, they are. Absolutely. It is. Why are we like that? I mean, again, it is awareness. So I'm not blaming the system and the schools. To a point,
right.
But until people have been shown, like before I was introduced to, you know, books, certain books, because gone through school, never heard about the self-development arena, you know, never heard of it. Nobody had introduced me to it, or I hadn't seen anything at that time. So some people are unaware, and it's not their fault because that's the way they've gone through. Although I suppose now with the internet, I mean, I'm going back to, you know, pre.
You didn't know what Lulu was.
You had to buy cassettes. You had to buy cassettes and listen right. to them. But now, it's a choice, actually, isn't it, to stay ignorant?
It is, but I mean, it's awareness. If you're, like you said, before you were introduced to a few books or concept, if you don't know the concepts out there, how can you process it? I mean, 3-4 years ago, we weren't aware of what woo-woo was and what that meant to life.
I think it's all woo. It's a woo-woo. It's all, to me, it's all, like you said, I mean, we proved this earlier, didn't we? When you're talking about the difference in energy when you're in a real life setting right. versus Zoom. We get part of it, but it's not the it's not as powerful, which means there's a lot going on outside of our five senses, isn't there? There's a lot more going on than, but we're so brought up to believe that, oh, you know, I'll believe it when I see it. Yeah, but you can't see it. You've got to feel it.
Right. That's the faith. The faith is such a big part of it. What we believe is so important because belief is what grounds our actions, which is what grounds our habits, which is what grounds our thoughts, which is what grounds what we do day to day. And so if you want to change your habits, you've ultimately got to question your beliefs, but we're not taught to really question our beliefs. And some of these beliefs were planted by somebody that didn't have any money or somebody that didn't know any differently, or we were given a belief by a teacher who made one statement about how smart we were or how dumb we were when we were young, and our brain has held on to that belief and repeated that story in our subconscious, and we've never challenged it. We've never gone back in there and said, is that true?
Or even just verbalizing it. Sometimes it wasn't even what was said. It's how we interpreted something, and it was never challenged because it was never brought to light. I'll give you an example of energy. I struggled with the concept of energy and the vibrations for many years. And I had life-saving surgery in August of 21, left my job in May of 22. And people started telling me that I looked better. I looked different. Things were, you know, I had to feel better. But I went and compared physical pictures from before I quit my job and before surgery. And I cannot see the physical difference, which got me to understand that it was my energy that had changed from working and being in the poor situation at work and prior to life-saving surgery to after releasing all of that and growing to be who I am grown to be, the energy had changed. And that's what was being said.
Unseen. It's having that, you know, and I'm not talking about religion here. Everybody's got different ideas. Right. I'm just talking about having faith in the unseen. It is, we know it's true. We know it's there, but for some that they need the proof. They want to see it. They want to touch it. They want to,
and they just need to pay attention.
And that's the exact opposite of faith.
We know it's there. We know what's going on. Like you say, that's, if you comparing pictures, well, so really, why should you have? Well, because you feel energy. Feel it.
And the science is proving this. The science, now they can measure the energy emitting from a human body, and it's going 15 feet away from you. There's a circle of energy around you that communicates 15 feet out from you. Okay. And so if somebody is within 5 feet of you, your brains are actually connecting without talking. You're connecting through body language and through energy. And it's amazing what the science is showing now that confirms some of the things that were taught by Napoleon Hill or taught by Wallace D. Wattles. Hundreds of years ago, they wrote these things. Buddha wrote things 3,000 years ago that are being proven today by science about how we think and how we act and what we believe and how those are all interconnected.
Brilliant. So I love speaking to you, and this is the second time. So I've been on yours, and now you're on mine. And there you go. I'm really late. So for those of you who are listening, how do they get in touch with you? What's your website?
So addvalue2life.com, addvalue2life.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time. It's been great speaking to you again. And to the rest of the listeners, I'll be back with Coffee with Karen. Bye for now.
Coffee with Karen podcast, a weekly chat show discussing everything from holistic health to current affairs, from a mental, physical, and